Welcome to the Haverford College Athletics Podcast. My name is Warren Croxton, Assistant Sports Information Director. This podcast is for fans of Haverford College Athletics to get to know some of the great student athletes, coaches, and administrators in the athletic department. This episode of the podcast features men's squash player Nate Vester-Chade. The Haverford College men's squash team got a season started with a sweep over Swarthmore last Saturday. Here in this interview, Vester-Chade discusses his time at Haverford, his love for the show Entourage, and much more. Here's how the interview went.
Can you discuss what last year was like for you guys? You guys won the most games in, you know, over 7 years, and really seemed like you guys kind of were playing really well at the end. How did that whole season go for you guys?
Yeah, well, coming into that year, we were incredibly young. I think we had no seniors on the team, and it was just myself and Lawrenson who were the two junior co-captains. So we knew it was going to be a tough task coming in, but I think we were able to really motivate everyone at the start of the season and kind of look at what our goals were and make those attainable goals. And I think it just took a while to kind of get some of those good wins. And once that started, I think everyone kind of really grew as players and improved their game a lot come the end of the season when it really comes down to crunch time. So that was kind of how it all developed.
You were a junior captain last year, something that's not really, you know, put on a lot of underclassmen. Now this will be obviously your second year. What has it been like for you to kind of be like a leader of the team?
First of all, it's an honor to be a captain, and I think in a way it's just seeing the captains before me manage the team. I learned a lot from them, and there's just a lot that goes into it, knowing since it's such an individual sport, you have to work on developing your own game and recognizing your own weaknesses, but at the same time as a captain, trying to recognize what the team needs to work on and how we can get better. You know, and it's a challenge, but I really like managing it and, you know, seeing where everyone is and where I know they can go over the course of a season. It's very rewarding.
And you yourself, you know, the past couple of years have been the number one ladder position, so you've been kind of like the male alpha dog, as people like to say. What's it been like for you developing your game from your freshman year to where you are now?
Yeah, it's been a long process. I think a lot of what it takes is just individual work, so that goes outside of practice, working on just each shot, my rails, my cross courts. I spend a lot of time working with our coach, Nikki Clement, as well, so try to hit with her at least for 45 minutes to an hour outside of practice every week. And it comes in waves, I'd say. So oftentimes I find you have to take a step back to go two steps, three steps forward. So it can be a frustrating process getting, you know, trying to improve stuff, but over the long run you just have to trust that it putting in all the extra hours will really pay off, and I think it certainly has. And just looking forward to the season ahead, my final year.
So how did you get into squash when you were younger?
So I guess I've had a racket in my hand from very, very early age. I started playing tennis when I was about 4 years old. And then when I was 12, I went to just a regular kind of sleepaway summer camp at Wellesley College, and they had squash as one of the activities you could kind of elect to do, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. So I signed up for squash and tennis there, and they had like, it was like 3 weeks long, and you know, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time doing that. So that was when I was 12. Went to the same summer camp when I was 13 and did it again. And then going into high school, my high school had a varsity team, and I'm from Baltimore, so there's a pretty competitive interscholastic league there. So I was able to get a lot of practice in after school, and then a competition against other teams in the area. So from there, I guess developed and really liked the game a lot. And you know, come my senior year of high school, knew I wanted to play in college.
Did you play any other sports other than tennis and squash when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, I really loved baseball when I was like 8 years old. And then just kind of don't know why, just stopped playing for whatever reason, and played tennis all through middle school, and tennis and squash were really the two big ones. I played some basketball as a youngster, but you know, I think racket sports have always been something I guess I've had an affinity for.
Who were some of your major influences when you were getting involved in squash?
That's a question. I mean, I guess I'd have to say my high school coach was pretty, really helped me develop a passion for the game, and I guess made me realize this is a sport you can play for your entire life. It's not just something you can play. You play in high school or maybe at the collegiate level, and then it's kind of done. Mm-hmm. And it's just something you can really take with you for a long time, and just really having you zone in on the sportsmanship of the game as well. That's been pretty huge. And then I guess also some of the captains I've had over the years at Haverford really made an impact on me and really made me value the importance of this team and what it means to me and my greater experience at the college. So I think those are some of the major influences for me.
So speaking of the college, when you were going through, when your high school senior, high school junior, you're going through the process of looking at colleges, what are some of the things that attracted you to Haverford?
So I had a pretty long evolution of my college search. Initially, my high school only had 350 kids total, grades 9 through 12. But I thought I wanted to go to a really big university when I was a junior. And then between the summer after my junior year, I kind of realized, well, wait, like I've done really well in this small environment where classes are, you know, no more than 20 students. I get to know all my teachers really well. I think that would be a good fit going into colleges. So from there, I kind of shifted my search process dramatically and started to zone in on the small liberal arts colleges. And that was something I knew I wanted. And so I visited a bunch. And, you know, I wasn't really interested in playing squash until maybe my senior fall. And there were really only a couple schools I was looking at for that. But I knew I wanted, you know, the small community experience, and I think for Haverford it was definitely the honor code and also being close to Philadelphia that really were really nice attractions for me. The whole community environment that is instilled here, it felt very genuine when I was on a visit, and I really liked it when I came, and I ended up applying early decision.
You discussed, you know, spending a lot of time outside of practice getting to work on your game. So how have you balanced your life as a student athlete in your 4 years here?
It's, you know, it's a challenge, but it's definitely something I think about a lot. And I find that actually during our athletic season, I'm almost more productive in that I have to be so focused and on a very regimented schedule. I have to find pockets of time, maybe outside of the 7 to 10 p.m. range where you might be doing a lot of work. You know, I have to find time in between classes to get some stuff done. But it just makes me a more productive person because I know when I have to go to practice, I know when my classes are, I know I have less free time to kind of goof off, if you will. And in that way, you just have to be, you have to manage your time very well. And I think knowing how long it takes you to get academic work done is very important. If you know it takes you X amount of hours to write a paper, then you should allow yourself that and plan that out well in advance. So I think it takes a lot of planning as well as time management.
Is there a particular moment academically in your 4 years that has stood out above the rest?
I'm an econ major, so I guess I've taken some very good classes within that. I've gotten to know some of the professors within that department pretty well, and I guess working with them closely is nice. And you know, knowing that I guess sometimes when I don't understand stuff, being able to go to them and have talk about the problems for a little bit, and then spend 20 to 30 minutes just talking about, you know, oh, how's squash going, or like where I'm from in Baltimore, is, you know, making connections that way. Is really great. And I don't know, I wouldn't say there's one moment in above anything else that stands out, but that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, so your general interaction.
Yeah, exactly. Really enjoy that.
What about athletically? Is there one moment the past couple of years that stands out?
There's a few. I think last year it was great to get those 11 wins. I think it was the most since the 2006-07 season. I'd say above that, my freshman year, we won the Barnaby Award, which was given to the most improved team in the country, and that was just really awesome. I think we shot up, you know, some 15 spots in the rankings to go get into the D Division, the Conroy Cup. I think our highest ranking that year was 28, which was the highest in a long, long time. So it was really cool to be a part of that and see, you know, see the results and have them be so tangible. I think that award was really the culmination of hard season of work and a lot of people pouring a lot of effort into the whole season and the whole process.
Have you done any internships? Anything that kind of helped you prepare for life after school?
Yeah, I have. So after my freshman year here, I stayed on campus and I worked in the dean's office doing all the freshman housing assignments. So that was pretty neat. Then my sophomore year, I was awarded the Whitehead internship, and I did a self-design. So I worked at a small wealth management firm in Bethesda, Maryland, so about an hour away from where I live in Baltimore. And that was a really great experience in the Whitehead. You know, I really owe it to the Whitehead program for having, you know, allowing me to go out and seek such an opportunity. And that I learned a tremendous amount there, and it kind of inspired my future, I guess, career ambitions. After that summer, I realized I wanted to go into, really start my career in financial services. So last year when I was looking at internships in that realm, I was able to get an internship at J.P. Morgan in their asset management division in New York. And that was a 10-week internship this past summer. And again, learned a tremendous amount, but a very long work day is usually 14 to 15 hours in the office. So you have to kind of, you kind of know that going in, but to do it is a totally different thing. But I enjoy the work a lot, and so it made the hours kind of fly by.
So have you squared anything up for, you know, job situation after school?
So after I did my internship with J.P. Morgan, and they followed up with a return offer, which I accepted in early October. So I'll be working for J.P. Morgan in New York City next year.
So what about your squash career? Are you going to continue after college?
I mean, New York's a great place. There's a lot of clubs there where you can play, and I guess a lot of, you know, leagues. So I think that's definitely on the agenda to continue it. We'll see how I find the time with work, but definitely it's something I want to be involved with as long as I can be.
Okay, so this part of the interview is a little bit more where you get to show off personality. So these next questions are going to be some rapid fire stuff. So just give me the first thing that pops into your head. Favorite sports team growing up?
Baltimore Orioles.
Favorite movie?
Anything with Will Ferrell, probably Anchorman or Step Brothers.
Favorite TV show?
Entourage, and then close second is Silicon Valley.
As a big fan of Entourage, I really disliked the final two seasons.
Final two seasons were terrible, especially the last one. I mean, yeah. it just closed up too nicely. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah. You know? Did you see the movie?
I did see the movie. The movie was just like great to see all the guys together again, but like, come on, like it didn't have much going on there.
I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm gonna wait, but I started rewatching it.
Yeah.
I just found out the movie was coming out, and I just couldn't get past.
I think I've seen every episode like three times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Favorite book.
Oh boy. What did I do? Moneyball. Michael Lewis.
Favorite food.
Let's go spaghetti.
Favorite vacation spot.
I don't do vacation a whole lot, but.
That's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, just people have like a beach destination picked out. I don't know. For me, it'd probably be like somewhere mountainous with a nice lake.
There you go.
That's what I would do.
Your favorite superhero or cartoon growing up?
Spider-Man.
What is the most played song on your iTunes playlist?
You know, here's a fun fact about me. I don't use iTunes, so my most used form of music media is YouTube.
Okay.
Because I can just find any song. Right now, it's probably like, what's at the top? Off the Rip by French Montana. But coming in close second right now, really rising up the top, is My Sharona by The Knack.
To be perfectly honest, before I got an iPhone, I used to do YouTube too.
I mean, yeah, you just can't beat it. I mean, I wait through the ads too. It's just like, it's free music.
The only part that bothers me is when you get back-to-back songs and just get ads, you know, from after two consecutive ads, it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
First world problems, right?
Yeah, right.
Share a personal fact that no one would guess about you.
Personal fact no one would guess about me.
Other than no iTunes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was one. That's probably the top one. I studied Japanese for 7 years.
Are you fluent enough in
Japanese? You know, it's been a long time since I spoke, you know, but I'm pretty proficient.
So was it for school? Or
yeah, I started in 6th grade through 12th grade. Nice. And, you know, I spent some time in Japan too.
So these questions are a little bit more deep thinking.
Sure.
Which teammate would you most want to be stuck on a desert island with?
That's tough. I mean...
See, there's different ways people go about it. Yeah. They can go with the people who they think is, you know, keep them the most energized, or the people who they think would help them get out of that situation.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Lawrence and Ward, because he'd come up with something just I would not think of. He knows this. I'd be way too flustered on that island, and he would just keep cool and then do something crazy. So Lawrence, for sure.
Now, if you could bring three things with you on desert island, what would they be?
Gotta have some fun on a deserted island. Probably bring my laptop.
But there's no electricity.
Yeah. That's why I'm gonna bring, you know, a portable charging station. Keep it going. You know, just wireless. We're all wireless nowadays, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then probably bring a Hawaiian shirt.
There you go.
Thematic.
If you could have three wishes from a genie, what would they be? And no, you cannot wish more wishes, and you cannot wish for a genie to grant you more wishes.
Alright, first thing, tell them not to put me on a deserted island.
There you go.
Avoid that problem right off the bat. Second, I would like to meet some of my favorite people. So, Phil Knight from Nike, Roger Federer, and Will Ferrell. Get to meet all three of those. Have dinner with those guys.
Okay.
And then third wish would be, I don't know, something strange. It'd probably be like a lifetime membership at like L.L. Bean. Just to get like clothes there.
Okay.
Like they just have nice styles.
Okay. So, if you could be any TV or movie character, what would it be and why?
It's got to be Vincent Chase. I mean, like, he just has the life. This, you know, L.A., kickback, you know. It's a nice life what he does.
So,
I would love to be Aquaman. You know?
So is that your favorite Vincent Chase movie, Aquaman?
Aquaman has got to be up there. But, you know, I tell people if Medellin was made, I would pay for a movie ticket to that.
Yeah. Are you sure, though?
I think so.
So,
I'd have to see it.
The new Narcos movie.
Seen all episodes.
You've seen all the episodes.
It's great.
Do you watch that and think of Medellin?
I see whoever the lead actor is there. It's like, it's just Vincent Chase. Like, I can't believe he's doing this now.
It finally worked out.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
I would love whatever. Travel from one place to another. Teleport, yeah. I mean, I just want to... Yeah, I'd love to go check out some cool countries right now. Be easy.
So what was your favorite Halloween costume?
As a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was just having this conversation the other night at dinner, and...
After you listened to the podcast, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I don't kiss and tell. But... I said this one, and I guess I didn't realize it was so brilliant until a couple of days ago. And I must have been like 7 years old. I went as a bag of French fries with mustard on the top of French fries. And then people were looking at me like, and I explained it like, yeah, because I like to put mustard on my French fries. And they're just like, what? That makes no sense. Like, no one puts mustard on it. So
okay. That's
who I was.
Hey, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
Why are you putting mustard on your French fries?
You know, I don't like ketchup. It's sweet. I'd never like ketchup. And so mustard is like the next option, you know. But I don't eat really, I would, normally I'm just going to eat the French fries straight.
Right.
You know, plain.
I'm not sure I would share that mustard story with other people.
Yeah? Okay. I mean, we learn things. We learn things about ourselves. We're growing to be better people at Haverford College, you know?
If you could time travel, would you go to the past or future?
Oh, definitely past.
What area of the past would you go to?
You know, I would love to, you know, wear one of those powdered wigs, you know, like from the American Revolution times. That'd be pretty sweet. But avoid all the other stuff. I'd just go there, try on a wig, and then see you later.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with the war.
Yeah,
that would be bad news.
Great.
If you could go to one sporting event, what would it be and why? Any sporting event?
Yeah,
in the world.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a. Oh, it's gonna be World Cup. You get to see the most action. You get to see the most different types of people, and it's just like, it's got to be the biggest sporting event in the world. So why would I do anything smaller?
If you had a golden ticket and go to any concert, past or present, who would the band be?
I don't know. I feel like Bruce Springsteen wouldn't disappoint. You know, Glory Days. That'd be pretty awesome. I feel like he put on a good show.
If you could bring back one thing from your childhood, what would it be?
I probably had a set of overalls there somewhere. And, like, I'm not going to get overalls anytime as an adult. So just to have those at the ready would be nice. But I can't confirm or deny that I ever had a pair.
Okay. You're walking through the dining center one day and accidentally bump into the high school version of yourself, checking out the school for the first time. What advice would you give to yourself?
Relax. Just relax. And enjoy yourself and, you know, stay calm and not worry so much.
And then my final question is, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
I'm going into a career in financial services next year, so see where that takes us. But I'd love to work in kind of a, work in sort of the strategic side of a corporation, so thinking out of like where is the next move going to be, expanding internationally, or you know, something dealing with like merging or introducing new product lines. I think that'd be really fascinating.
Thanks to Nate for coming onto the podcast. Please subscribe, download, rate, and leave comments on how we can make the podcast better for you, the fans. Stay tuned for more fall athletes and winter athletes coming soon. Thanks for listening, and go Fords!